Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to You've Got Hanks. This is the podcast about Colin Hanks. My name is Rachel, and I'm very, very, very excited today because I have one of my best friends. He's so funny and so wonderful. Probably one of my favorite people in the world. Probably. I mean, yes.
Anyway, he's the co-host of Inside the Disney Vault and podcast Kill the Video Star. It's Oscar Montoya!
Hi! Thank you for being here today.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about Colin Hanks.
Oh yeah, not Tom.
No, I talked about Tom before.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to be talking about Colin Hanks. Because, you know, he doesn't get enough love.
He doesn't. And does he get enough love from Tom?
Wait, what do you know?
I don't know anything. Tell us. I don't know anything. I do know, from word of word, this is not... This word to word, one time Colin did a UCB show and he said something about, well, you know, when your dad's Tom Hanks, he's not really around that much.
Oh.
But that was like word of word from someone in the improv committee. So, you know, is I don't
know. Probably a lie.
Yeah. He probably said, you know, when your dad's Tom Hanks, life is perfect.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, my dad is great and always around.
Yeah.
People just say mean stuff.
I know. Well, we all know Tom is busy.
Tom is super busy and Tom is great. I was talking to my friend right before I was recording with you, Rachel, and I was telling them about like, oh, I'm going to be a guest on You've Got Hanks. And it's a podcast where my friend Rachel talks about Tom Hanks movies. And then literally unprompted, my friend was like, oh, that's great. But why don't people talk about Colin Hanks? And I was like, I'm going to. That's actually the whole purpose. And they were like, oh, yay, he doesn't get enough love. And I was like, you get it.
Honestly, I feel like I should have asked you for another Colin movie because there's some weird ones. And I know you like weird.
I do like weird ones, but I do think this sort of fits.
Yeah.
Because also here, this specific movie is not for everybody. Like, yeah. I don't think you could bring like a squeamish person or a person who doesn't like gory stuff.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I wouldn't have asked Claire, our other co-host.
No,
exactly.
Yeah. I don't think Claire would be like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Yeah. But so for that reason, I get why I'm guessing this one. But yeah, he's got a really good career.
Yeah. He has a lot. I wouldn't say so far that it's a good, I mean, it's good as far as like an actor would want this career. Anyone would want this, but like it, if you compare it to Tom, it's definitely not.
No, but also, I mean, compare anybody to Tom and that's going to be pretty impossible. Yeah.
You put Meryl though, and then it's like,
Oh, that's a good poll. You should do a poll.
Yeah.
Who has the better career?
Yeah.
You should. Oh my gosh. You should do like a bracket thing.
Oh, like I'll wait for March and I'll do a March.
Yes. 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 You should put Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Judi Dench, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro.
Yeah. I feel like what's his name? Starts with a D. He did The Graduate.
Oh, when, Dustin Hoffman.
That's it.
We'll see how far he gets on this break.
I know. Well, I feel like in film school, that's all people talked about was Dustin Hoffman, how great he was.
Oh,
and I was
interesting.
Like, I'd rather watch Tom Hanks' movie.
Well, it's like, what does it mean to be like a good actor? And it's just like, you know, is it like the gravitas of performance, you know, or is it just like... Watchability. I think watchability is an element that like people don't throw a lot of respect on. Cause like you can watch a Tom Hanks movie and it's gonna be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even if it's a bad movie, it's a good movie because Tom is in it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think he's so charismatic.
Yeah.
I'm sure you covered this in like what was the first Tom Hanks movie he ever did?
The first one he ever did was He Knows You're Alone.
Right, which is that horror movie.
Yeah, you know? And he was so good and charismatic in it that they didn't kill his character.
Exactly. And, you know, there's something, I mean, when does that happen with literally any other celebrity?
Yeah.
Not very often, you know?
Especially when you're first starting out and no one knows you. They're like, well, we'll just kill you.
Exactly, you know? So I think it's important to remember, like, just because, you know, I mean, what does it mean to be a good actor? Who truly, who knows?
Yeah.
But it is definitely the idea of like, I think what just likability should be an element in there, you know?
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, Oscar, you are one of the greatest actors.
No, I'm not even an actor. What?
You are.
I'm an entertainer.
No. I was with someone the other day and they just kept bringing up all of your commercials. And I was
what? Like, that's a little strange.
And I was like, we get it. He booked.
Who is this person?
Your biggest fan.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. But, you know, back to the likability thing, I think Colin has an element of that.
Yeah, Colin definitely has his father's likability.
Yes, and I think also like in terms of like range of movies and performance, I think Colin has that as well.
Yeah, because I will say I did have to stop watching this movie at one point and walk away and come back to it, and it was like right when he got captured, and I was I can't watch Colin.
I wasn't expecting that to happen at all.
Caught. Yeah, I kind of figured it would happen once the scene where the guy is looking and he's like scoping out her like family and it zooms in on Colin and it's like, oh, he's gonna be next. It was like either her daughter or him, and I was like, they can't kill a little girl. Or like
I didn't know. I was like, you know what, they killed a cat at the very beginning of the movie. That's our in.
I know, but also like
I was like, all bets are off after they killed a little kitten. Oh, no. And I was like, oh, no, Rachel's watching this.
I know. I was so sad. But I was like, that's the thing. They're always like, oh, animals are like an easy kill to then go to humans. And I was like, no. I'd rather you kill a man than kill a cat. Because cats are, aww.
Well, they're like sacred. Like you don't, you know, there's the golden rule of horror movies or movies where things are gonna die, you don't touch pets.
Yeah,
you know.
So wasn't it Michael Myers who as a kid first started killing kids or killing like animals?
Sorry.
He started killing animals, right? And that was the first sign that he was gonna be a killer,
right? Yes. Jeffrey Dahmer as well, like a real life serial killer.
If someone's killing animals, then you better lock them up.
Yeah, you don't want them around. They're not good company.
No. Yeah. Well, we've talked about this movie, but I don't think we've said what it is. But it's Untraceable from 2008. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who hasn't seen it, the IMDb synopsis is FBI agent Jennifer Marsh is tasked with hunting down a seemingly untraceable serial killer who posts live videos of his victims on the internet. As time runs out, the cat and mouse chase becomes more personal.
Nice choice of words there.
Cat, yeah. Is that accurate?
Is that accurate? Cat and mouse? Yeah, I think so. For the most part, I don't know. There's more mouse than cat play, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a little uneven. But yeah, I think for the most part, it's pretty accurate. I asked my new roommate, I was like, do you want to watch this movie? And he read the synopsis on IMDb and then turned to look at me and said, no.
Oh, no.
I was like, okay, fair, very fair, very, very, very fair. But, you know, I gotta say, a lot of this is eerily similar to that documentary on Netflix that was really popular a year and a half ago. They kill cats, don't they? Or you don't fuck with cats or something like that. I don't know if you remember that documentary.
I remember people talking about it, but I was like, I'm not gonna watch that.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's a very graphic
Yeah.
documentary. I haven't seen it because, you know, spoiler, they kill a cat. This is a real life thing. So,
yeah.
But it's very similar with that idea. So I was like, oh, that's so interesting. And it was released in 2008. So I was like, oh, this is very fascinating.
Yeah. Hmm. I wonder if they're like the same, like based on.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't look at the IMDb fun facts. But apparently the website Kill With Me actually existed. It was owned by the movie studio, of course, and used to promote the film. And its users were taken to a replica of the FBI computer used by the character Jennifer Marsh. Her desktop gets hacked by the killer, who provides the visitor with 4 tests she must complete to deactivate his website. The content has now been removed, and the domain name is available for sale or lease. You can buy it.
Interesting. It feels very much like Saw in a way. Then,
yeah, it did. Well, when did the first Saw movie come out? Because this kind of has
early aughts, I want to say. Before this movie.
Yeah, because this movie gave, like, I don't think I've ever actually seen a Saw movie.
Oh, the first one is good. Second one is great, and then they suck afterwards. Oops.
Yeah. I mean, I should watch them.
They're intense. I mean, how, I want to ask you, like, how are you with that kind of stuff, with all that gore? I mean, how was it watching this movie in particular? Because some of the stuff was pretty intense.
Yeah. Because, like, the premise is that the more people tune into this website to watch people get, like, watch people die, like, mm-hmm. then the more intense, then they die quicker. So, like, there was one where it's, like, heat lamps were on the guy, and, like, his whole body was, like, melting. And then for Colin's death, it was, like, they were putting sulfuric acid into his water, which is basically, like, battery acid. So he was, like, he was acid, and the whole pool started turning red. And
yeah, these deaths were very
it was gross.
Graphic, you know what I mean? They didn't sort of soft shoe any of it. It was very, very graphic. And I was really surprised at the way that Colin Hanks died. I really wasn't expecting him to die at all.
No, but I was sad. But, you know, you have to kill off someone close to the main character.
That's true.
And if it's not going to be Colin, then it was going to be Charlie Swan from Twilight, and
who
the other guy, the like kind of love interest guy. He's the dad from Twilight,
the guy with the mustache.
Yeah, he plays the dad in Twilight.
Oh, he's kind of hot.
Yeah, no, he's honestly,
he's not hot in this, but hot in Twilight.
Yeah, he is hot in Twilight. I'm team Bella's dad.
Oh,
because I think that she shouldn't be with either guy, right? Because her dad's the whole time like, why are you going out with these guys? And I'm like, team dad. But
yeah, 100%. Aw.
Yeah. But anyway, so it was either going to be him or Colin. Of course, it had to be Colin, because what a dummy.
So sad. What did you think of Colin Hanks's character in this movie? And how does it compare with like his other stuff you've seen?
I mean, he always plays like a nerd. Like, that's his like good. He's like nerd.
Yeah.
And so like he was a nerd in this. Like he's either, yeah, he's always a nerd in some sort. It, like sometimes he's like a cocky nerd that's kind of like annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or he's like a mean nerd, but he's always like someone that like you could find a reason to like knock him down, you know?
I think he just looks, I don't know, he looks nebbishy, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, I get it, but
yeah,
but it's so funny how he's so typecast in this movie. Like it's so funny.
Yeah,
so
and funny. His character is so desperate to find love.
His thing is that he's always dating. He's like constantly going on dates.
Yeah. He doesn't need to.
No, but it's a you know, like he said, it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game.
No, it's not. It's a wait around until someone shows up.
Just wait around. Someone's going to show up. It's fine. It's fine.
You know, you can be Chris Evans' third or fourth wife. Yeah. You don't have to be his first one.
Right, right. Yeah. I think there's an element too to Colin Hanks' performance in this movie that, like, I don't know, it wasn't like a kind nerd, you know what I mean? It was like, I don't want to say the incel because that's incorrect.
Yeah, no, I get like, what you mean. Like, he wasn't as, because even he like forgot like her birthday and stuff like that. So it's like he was kind of a selfish nerd.
Right. And also like the way he was dating a lot made me, I don't know, in my mind, it was like, well, are you even respecting these women? Like, it just feels like he's so, and then especially the way that he handled that date when it was at the birthday party where he was like, oh, you're gorgeous. I'm like, ew. And he's like, I gotta go, which I guess it's funny. Ha ha ha. Screenwriter. But it just didn't sit well with me. I didn't like the way that he was treating his dates. His very beautiful date. I didn't like that. So
yeah, no.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, what do you call a guy like that?
Not a nice guy. just, you know, needs to grow up, immature, you know?
Yes, yeah. Still a kid, you know, still a child.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs, he's one of those guys that probably treats women bad until he has a daughter. And then he's like, no, I get it.
Oh, interesting.
You know?
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Where he's like, no, I get it. But he like kind of has that with What's-Her-Face's daughter where he kind of is like, you know, so he's like kind of there.
Right. But, right. I think, yeah. I think also like the tone of the movie, like everyone is sort of an asshole.
Yeah.
Like even what's her name? Diane Lane just felt like she had a little bit of like, I don't know, like not warm energy.
Yeah. She was a little bit too cocky about her job. And like,
yeah,
I don't know. And also like they could have just done more. Like the fact that she was like, we need to shut this down. And he's like, well, we can't. It's not our jurisdiction. Like, it's like all of this could have been ended.
Handled.
Yeah.
It could have been handled for sure. And it was handled incorrectly. It wasn't even like it was not handled because they were trying, but everything they did was incorrect. Also, the idea of like the more people that you watch, the faster they die. And it's like, then it's like, I get you have to watch this person die for the sake of the movie and because you're the FBI, but you're not helping. You're adding a number. You're like, the viewers are the weapons. Y'all are accomplices to this murder then.
Yeah. And they're like, zoom in.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell? Oh my gosh. The part of the deaf character.
Yeah.
His whole purpose of the movie was just to read lips.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That one segment, I was like, this is a little disrespectful. I don't know how I feel about this either.
Yeah, it was like, honestly, anyone there could read.
Anybody lips. Could have. Anybody could have.
Yeah.
And it was only for, I was like, oh, this is like interesting casting.
Yeah.
This is really cool. But it just felt like it was such a device that they used. It was like, this deaf guy is going to read lips, you know? And also didn't do it very well. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, he was like, eight?
Yeah. It's like, you know what this is. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And then then there was the guy with the Morse code.
Yeah, what? What was this movie? What was this movie? It was like, it had, you know, parts of it were interesting. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed parts of it.
Yeah.
But it was very much like, I don't know, one of those like just forgettable sort of like thrillers that sort of glorify the police department, which I feel uncomfortable. You know what I mean? So
it was
interesting. And it was dry. It was just so dry. Even in the performance, it felt like a CSI the movie, you know?
Yeah. But it wasn't a dry location because it rained a lot.
Right. Yes. It was in Portland. Now that's an interesting location to place a movie because why?
Yeah.
Why a crime thriller in Portland, Oregon?
Maybe because they could have it rainy and then it would add it to the ambiance.
To the ambiance. Right.
Yeah. This You're is right. scary.
You need those gloomy.
Yeah.
Portland days. Now, what did you think of the idea of the killer, the bad guy, being a totally random person?
Well, he wasn't totally random because he was connected because his dad killed himself and all those people were connected. Why did you want it? Did you want it to be someone in the FBI?
Yeah, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I really was. If I was a betting person, I would have put money on Colin Hanks being the killer.
I thought that too when I first started watching. I was like, "Oh, it's Colin." Even like, cause the when he was when they like showed he was messaging someone on like AM, I was like, "What?" But then I realized, "Oh, that's their job. They're trying to get their fishing people for." Finding these bad people, but I in my head I was like, it's Colin, because Colin has played bad guys in movies before.
When did he play a bad guy?
Before this he did a movie called Alone with Her where he played a creepy guy who stalked a woman until like she fell in love with him, but she didn't really fall in love with him, and he was an incel character at that point.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Ooh, okay. That's an interesting. Did you cover that in the podcast yet?
I did. I had Coop Foster as my guest.
Yes, Coop.
Yeah. I didn't really like that movie because I just thought it was boring because it was man stalks woman and then he kills, you know. But anyway, so I've seen him be a bad guy before. So I'm like, oh, you know, he does do a well, like you think he's a good guy, but he's actually a bad guy. Like he has that.
And also there was that scene where they were talking to Diane Lane was talking to her crush.
Yeah.
Twilight Dad. Yeah. And then you saw Colin like stare out through the window, and that was like, you know, like a creepy shot or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is almost too easy. Like, yeah, we all know that he's the killer, don't we?
Yeah.
He wasn't. So I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, you know.
Yeah, but then they like reveal, that's another thing. They reveal the killer pretty early in the movie, too.
Yeah, pretty early. Which that was a weird choice too.
Yeah. Where it's like, and then where's this kid from? He's like a kid actor who's now like an adult actor, right?
Doesn't he look familiar? Yeah. Like, I'm not sure. Like he seems, I don't know where he's from.
He was in the Northern Lights TV movie.
What?
That was actually, I read something. That was actually the first Disney Channel original movie.
Wait, Northern Lights?
Yeah.
What is that one about?
It's I've never seen it, but it's got
Should we have covered that on the podcast?
No. It's not actually. It's like the first one that was like, it's not considered a Disney Channel original movie, but it was like the first Disney Channel movie. It has Diane Keaton in it. A stranger's call informs Roberta, Diane Keaton, that her estranged brother Frank has died in a small town under bizarre circumstances. Ben, his best friend from college, also gets the call. That's the synopsis. I don't know what
that's
it's
a
about.
Disney Channel movie.
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
That feels like a thriller to me.
Yeah.
That almost feels too adultish for.
Oh, Disney Jack Channel. Frost. That's where this kid is from. The movie where the dad is the snowman.
You mean Michael Keaton plays Jack Frost?
Yeah.
Get out of here. That's the kid?
Yeah, that's the kid.
You know, he sort of looks like the guy who played Iceman in the X-Men movies.
Oh.
Do you know who I'm talking about? Sean.
Oh, yeah. Sean. And he has a brother, too.
He does?
Yeah, there's two of them. And they've been on, they were at Cadet Kelly, right?
Yes, Cadet Kelly. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, what, because he has a brother who looks like Sean Ashmore.
That's his name, yeah, Sean Ashmore.
And then he has a brother. I'm pretty sure he has a brother. What's his brother's name? Aaron Ashmore.
What has Aaron been in?
Aaron Oh my gosh, they're twins. They're basically
twins. Okay.
Well, they look so similar. I'm sure if you stared enough, you'd be like, "This one." Oh, Aaron was on Veronica Mars, and what else?
Oh my God, they look exactly the same.
Warehouse 13.
Oh my God.
Smallville. He was Jimmy Olsen in Smallville. Wow.
Oh, that's sort of weird, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, look at them both together. That's so cute. They look exactly the same. It's actually really freaky.
Oh, and he was Jake's double in Animorphs because his brother was an Animorph.
You're right. He played Jake.
Wow.
What? They really do look the same. What if you lost your role to your twin sibling?
I would hate that. Yeah.
Because it is like a lot of this industry is like looks, you know?
Yeah.
And if you look exactly the same, you're like,
well, what did I do?
What did I do? Maybe one of them is more charismatic than the other one.
Maybe. I mean, there is Cole and Dylan Sprouse, and Cole is like
super big on
Riverdale. Yeah.
Riverdale. But then Dylan didn't, he like focused on other things.
What's the other guy doing?
I know that he has done a few movies recently, Dylan Sprouse. He did that. Oh, there was that movie that was based on a Harry Styles fan fiction.
What?
Yeah, there's a movie. It's on Netflix now. And it's like the 50 Shades of Grey thing where you're like, I don't understand how this has anything to do with it's supposed to be based on.
No way. Yeah. What?
I forget what it's called, but people are like, yeah, it's based on a Harry Styles fan fiction, this movie. and then I'm like, should I be writing fan fiction? And then
that seems to be the way to do it. I mean, I guess there's no such thing as original ideas anymore.
No.
So, I mean, go off.
it's called, the sequel is called After We Collided. But the first one is like something.
I'm sorry, there's a sequel?
Yeah, it's apparently three parts.
Lord.
It's like, I guess it is like 50 Shades of Grey. But yeah, Before We Fall, I think was the first one.
Unbelievable.
And then After We Collided. Yeah. But
un-be-freaking-leavable. It's nuts. Yeah. If you had to make a fan fiction of something, what would you make it of?
The only fan fiction I really read in high school that I still think about because I thought it's just so funny was a fan fiction about Michael Phelps. And
Wait, you read it or you wrote it?
I read it, but I can't find it.
You should write it. You should write one.
Yeah, well, I couldn't find it anywhere, and someone told me to someone had like a podcast episode where it was like about like fan fictions that you've read or you've written, and I couldn't find it, so I just wrote from memory like the first 5 minutes of it. Yeah, but it's basically this girl goes to the 2004 Olympics with her cousin, Carly Patterson. And there is no Olympic Village because
how did you find this?
This was like the height of my love. And I like searched Michael Phelps and there wasn't much Google results at the time. And there was this fan fiction and I started reading it and it was like during hurricane season. So we didn't have a lot of power, like the power going out and we didn't have school. So like.
You read it by candlelight.
Yeah, I read it by candlelight. And she goes to the Olympics, falls in love with Michael Phelps, but then there's like a love triangle because there's another swimmer who's like Michael's competition, Ian Thorpe from Australia, who turns out he's gay. So this wouldn't be true.
Oh, see, there you go. Okay.
But anyways, he's like flirting with you and Michael gets jealous and you're like, what? What, Michael?
That is amazing.
Yeah. It's and then he the 2004 Olympics is when he wins 6 gold, 2 bronze. So the ones where he gets the bronze, he like lost because he was like, we were just fighting.
Thinking of his girl.
Yeah. We were just fighting. And he wasn't on his game, you know?
So this is all based on like factual things that actually happened, huh?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Wow. You know, I gotta give it up for people who do fan fiction. It's like, to first of all motivate yourself to write something based on a real life thing takes a lot of work. You know, yeah. I haven't written anything, so I can't really speak. But so that alone is a feat on its own. I give it up to you. And you know, if they're good, or maybe not even if you're good, if it's popular, you can be super, super famous.
Yeah, you can sell your rights to, I guess the fan fiction website is the one that like produced that After We Collided movie. So like it's what? Producing movies now. So.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. So go ahead. Oscar, what would you write?
I would probably, okay, so I actually, and this wasn't even that long ago, I wrote a outline. I haven't written that as far as I went, but I wrote an outline, a full outline to write a Power Rangers pilot. And it was not, it's not based off the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It was like my own idea of Power Rangers, but it would be, it was called, this is very silly. it's called Power Rangers Zodiac Defenders. And it's Power Rangers based off of the Zodiac signs. So yeah. But then as I was writing the outline for it and I had all the characters mapped out and everything, I was like, I should research just like the history of the Power Rangers, because as you know, they're all based off of like Sentai henshin shows in Japan, you know. And so Haim Saban, who brought the Power Rangers from Japan to the US and created the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, had pitched, before Power Rangers is even a thing, a spinoff to Bioman, which was the Power Rangers before Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in Japan. But he wanted to make them Zodiac signs.
Oh.
Just in the name, not like in the actual Zords or conceptually like design the outfits. So yeah. I was like, oh, this idea. There is no such thing as a new idea. Haim Saban had it first before I did.
Yeah, but, you know, and then before him, someone else probably had it too.
That's true. That's true. I mean, yeah, before him, it was actually a show.
Yeah.
In Japan. So wait a second. You're right. I mean, people do make a lot of money just stealing other people's ideas.
Yeah.
Wow.
But what they told me in film school is that there's only a handful of stories to tell, but the way that they're all told differently is because of the person telling them. So your story would be completely different than someone else's.
That's true. It'll be much worse. Yes.
No, it'll be better. Be better.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Speaking of which, to go back to the movie.
Yeah.
One of the big, and Rachel, you know this because I talk about this on Inside the Disney Vault all the time.
Yeah.
My biggest pet peeve. What is my biggest pet peeve on Inside the Disney Vault? Do you remember?
No.
It's when kids play quote unquote video games, but they're not playing them correctly.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was not expecting to be triggered and offended in this movie, but lo and behold, it happened. It freaking happened. And there's this, so that, you know, the scene where the daughter gets that game from her friend as an early birthday, the cause of all of that drama.
Yeah, the horse game.
The horse game, right, horses with a Z at the end. She was playing it on her computer. And I was immediately, before they even said the title Horses, I knew it was the game Horses, because I'm a big gamer. I was like, wait a second, no, they didn't release Horses on PC. I know that for a fact. And
wait,
as a matter
horses
of fact,
is a real game.
Oh, absolutely, it's a real game. Click on find it. Yeah, it's Horses. That sounds weird.
But man.
Yeah, it's a real game.
It's a Game Boy game.
It's it's a Game Boy game. It's a place to, it's on all major systems except for PC. And the still that they used, I was like, wait a second, those are PlayStation controllers that they're showing on the screen. So I was like, no, the stunt, no, I don't like the stunt, because you're showing a PlayStation game on a PC for a game that doesn't exist on PC. I was like, no, this movie already failed. This movie gets an F.
Dang.
For that scene alone.
Dang.
So do better, Untraceable. Do better.
Do better. At least change it from horses to ponies, and then it can be inspired by, but it's a different thing.
I know. Or it could not literally not be horses.
Yeah.
It could just be like Horse Adventure.
Yeah.
Riding with Molly. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it could be anything. And I don't mean the drug. I mean, her name, the lead is, her name is Molly. Or maybe the drug. I don't know.
But, I don't know.
Yeah, it is just, you know, as a gamer, I was like, no, no, this will not do.
Wow. You know, Hollywood really thought they could trick you. And
they really did.
You
they
said,
really
no, did. Thank you.
And I said, no, not today. And not ever. Because I'm on to you, Hollywood. I'm on to you.
Wow. Well, do you believe that she would have survived at the end?
Who, the girl?
She was swinging so much.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
thing was right below her head.
Absolutely not. Also, like, you could have guessed, like, that was the weapon that they were going to use at the end, right? Because at the very beginning, the grandma was doing that. And it was such a pointed moment that I was like, okay, we're going to see that, like, weed whacker or whatever. What would you call that even?
I don't know. I thought the grandma was going to die from
it. I thought
it.
So, too. I was like, you know, it's so weird. It's like, this movie still managed to surprise me, which, okay, good job on y'all.
Yeah.
But I thought the little girl was going to get kidnapped.
Yes.
And she didn't. And then, you know, the bad guy's like, do you think I'd take a little girl? And I was like, okay, well, he's going to take the mom, you know? And that didn't happen. Instead, it was Colin Hanks, someone that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah,
because to get got, because I thought he was the person who got
them. Because it could be that this Owen Riley was just the goon doing it. And there was like a big baddie guy who.
Interesting.
Because then that would make sense, because Colin Hanks is like an FBI smart computer person who could, you know. But no. Okay.
No.
Also, why did she get back into her car after she kicked the window open?
Yeah. It was a series of bad decisions. Yeah. Diane Lane's character.
So she's computer smart. I've met these people. They're very computer smart. But when it comes to street smarts, they're dumb.
Or like logic in any capacity. Yeah, totally.
Like,
I get it.
You're about to walk off the street, the side of the road into the street. Watch where you're going, stupid.
Meanwhile, they have like a PhD from MIT.
Yeah, they're like the smartest. Oh, also, Jesse Tyler Ferguson played like
a
random
you're
person.
Right. He had a line in this
yeah.
movie?
Yeah, I was like,
that
wait,
was weird.
He did something other than Modern Family. Yeah.
Wasn't he a stage actor?
Yeah.
Like a big Broadway person?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not a Broadway person, but yeah.
Me neither.
He seems
neither.
Like it.
But it was so funny. I was like, what is he doing here? And I was like, oh, I guess he's going to get a big part in this movie. No, we never saw him again, ever.
No.
I was like, why? Why? I just don't get it. I just don't understand. But
so everyone in this movie was white.
Well, you know, it did take place in Portland, Oregon. So in terms of diversity, I would say it's fairly accurate to the, you know, to that location, you know?
Yeah.
So, because I definitely was like, I did a double take and was like, there's literally one extra of color, maybe. I saw an Asian person.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And I was like, well, I've been to Portland. Yeah, no, I was the only person of color anywhere I went.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. I went to a bar in Portland and there was all white people. And then a black person walked in and we made eye contact and we nodded to each other. And that was it. And I was like, okay, yeah, this, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so it was accurate.
It was accurate. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I didn't read any other fun facts. This movie, let's see what the okay, so the budget was $35 million, and it grossed a worldwide of $52 million.
Okay, interesting. Was this released in theaters?
Yeah, it had an opening weekend in the U.S. and Canada at $11 million.
Oh, interesting. I never heard of this movie before you mentioned it. Have you heard of
this? No, but also I haven't heard. Weirdly, these like 2000s movies I haven't heard of. And I'm like, maybe it's because all I cared about were like the Disney movies and then Disney Channel. Like I wasn't watching anything else. So like a lot of these movies that call, I didn't even see Orange County, and I didn't really even know it was a movie until like recently.
Wait, what do you mean you never seen Orange County?
I never saw Orange County.
When it came out, like that's how I knew about Colin Hanks is through Orange County.
No. How I knew about Colin Hanks was through Tom Hanks.
What?
Yeah, no.
Oh, I have a question actually, Rachel.
Yeah.
So I know that you watched all the Tom Hanks movies.
Yes.
So far. Yes. And you're going to Colin Hanks. Are you doing Chet Hanks movies at all?
Everyone keeps asking this.
I mean, it's on.
Yeah. You know, if he...
At this moment, I was going to say yes, season three, whatever.
I'll do Chet. You know?
Wait, what? He's done TV?
Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff. I only
know him in one thing, and it is the most iconic thing.
Oh, the Bratz movie.
Absolutely, the Bratz movie.
If I do a season three with Chet, I will ask you for the Bratz
movie. Oh, that would be... Oh, ooh.
Yeah. No, actually, Chet's movie, IMDb list, is not bad, and I would want to see these, because it's just like... the Bratz movie is his first credit.
Of course.
Followed by Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
What does he play in that movie?
Student in library. And then he's in Larry Crown as Pizza Delivery Boy.
Uh-huh.
He does show up in Project X and Fantastic Four, the newer one, which I haven't seen.
I see. Yeah, the one that did really, really bad.
Yeah. And then he was in the TV show Marin. And then he did...
I'm sorry?
Like, Marin?
What like, is that?
Is it the Marc Maron show?
Oh, Marc Maron had a show. Interesting.
I guess so. And then he did a few other TV shows. He did Curb Your Enthusiasm, Shameless, Empire. Then he was recently in Tom's movie Greyhound, which, why are you throwing your son some bones, right?
What's Greyhound? I've never heard of Greyhound.
It was supposed to come out in theaters in 2020, but then, of course, you know, whatever happened. So it came out on Apple TV, but it was a submarine movie with Tom Hanks, and it was written by Tom, and it was okay. I had Colin McGurk for that episode, and he liked the movie, but of course it's a Colin McGurk movie.
And you know what, that's good on you though for knowing that and asking Colin to do it.
But it was not it was described in a review as a like a Sunday movie that your grandma or your grandpa would fall asleep to.
On TV. Yes.
You know?
Oh, that's an aggressive vibe for sure.
Yeah. So but yeah, Chet has a few things. I don't know if he's gonna continue to work. He will continue. Whatever. I mean, whatever.
Gosh. Oh my goodness.
If he doesn't piss me off too much, then maybe I'll do a season three with Chet.
He will.
I know. He'll
say something stupid.
I did see something on Twitter today where someone on the red carpet asked Colin about Chet, like about what he said about not getting a vaccine. And then Colin just was like, you know, that's one person's opinion.
Wow, you know, a pretty good brother move, I would say.
Yeah, it's not like putting him down, but also part of me was like disappointed in that answer, because like part of me wants to just everyone to shit on him, but I get it. He's your brother.
They're family. Yeah. Or do you think they get along with each other? Like, I can't imagine them even like talking to each other.
No, but they're also half brothers, so I'm sure they use that as like a thing all the time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know,
maybe that's their little inside joke. We're half brothers.
Yeah.
Now, question: would you then do the Hanks family and include Rita Wilson movies in your podcast?
I would like to do Rita because I do. Rita, one of Rita's movies is one of my favorite movies of all time. Now and then, but I think she has.
She's in that movie.
Yeah, she plays the older version of Chrissy.
Okay. Yes.
She's pregnant. She's the one reason why they all come back. But yeah.
Right.
I might. It's just like a lot. She has a big career, so it's a lot.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. It's not like Chet Hanks. That's like, well, yeah. Apparently he has stuff.
It would be like 3 months, you know, an episode a week, 3 months, you know, that's
it's keeping you busy.
Yeah. But maybe I'll do Truman's work. Truman is the youngest Hanks and he works in the camera department.
What does he do?
He's like a camera assistant. you know, I could also do Elizabeth Hanks, who I think has only been in like two things she was in Forrest Gump as Girl on Bus. You know,
is that his sister?
Yeah, that's Colin's sister.
Okay. Older, yeah. I assume older sister?
No, Colin is the oldest. It goes Colin, Elizabeth, Chet,
Truman.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Truman actually has some good movies that he's done camera for. He did News of the World, which was a Tom Hanks movie that I actually liked. Black Widow.
Oh, like this last Black Widow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wow.
Atypical.
Yeah. Should get Kimmy for that.
Yeah, and then West Side Story. Wow.
Okay, we love a working Hanks.
Yeah.
We love a working Hanks.
And you know he's doing something he loves, cameras.
We're so proud of him.
I'm proud of him. He seems like if I'm going to get into the Hanks family, Truman is my
He's your in. Yeah, he'll
Truman. I you know, unlike your brother in this movie, I'm waiting.
Yeah.
but it is a numbers game and my numbers are lowering for the Hanks family because Colin is happily married and Chet.
What's he married to?
Samantha something. No. I always forget her name. Samantha Bryant? No. Yeah. Is that? Yeah.
Samantha Bryant?
Yeah. They're cute.
You know, here's the thing. After watching Colin was attractive in this movie. I think Colin Hanks is a cutie patootie.
Yes.
And I think he has elements of Tom.
Yes.
That, like, the nice physical attributes of Tom, like Colin inherited. There's something about his like hairline. Is that a weird thing to say? That's like attractive.
Yeah. Right?
And it's like, it was very prevalent in this movie. I was like, Colin has a really nice hairline in this movie.
Colin's great. And, you know,
he does look a lot like his dad. I think he looks the most like his dad than anybody.
Yes, he does.
Right?
Well, Truman looks a lot like his dad too. But no one has really seen Truman, so he's behind the camera, not in front of it.
Now I got to see what Truman looks like. Truman.
Yeah. Okay. But for this season of the podcast, I'm making everyone take a BuzzFeed quiz that I either found or I made, and I made this one.
Oh my gosh! So this is like your fanfic of BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Quiz.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. Would you survive the movie Untraceable? That's the question. Okay, here's the first one. Pick a fun weekend activity. Sleep, hang out with my family, go see a hockey game, go on a date, or I'm working.
A weekend activity, I would say go on a date, ideally.
Okay. Pick an AIM screen name. I like sports with a bunch of Z's. Flirty Nerd 314.
Uh-huh.
Breaking News 24/7. And then no, you're not on AOL. And then the other one is meow with a bunch of different letters like someone walked all over the keyboard.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. I would like it to be that, but I think I'll be Flirty Nerd. I think that's flirty. The most accurate for me.
Okay, what's a song you ripped from Napster?
Ooh.
This I Promise You, Memory from Cats. We Are the Champions. Look What You Made Me Do, Taylor Swift, or The World Will Know from Newsies.
Ooh. You know, out of all of those, I would say for the kitsch factor and my reference for the film, I would say Memories from Cats.
Okay. Pick a thing to collect. Sports memorabilia, plates, cards, X's, or tuna.
I collect plates. Why is that funny to me? Wait, I'm sorry. What are the other two?
Okay, sports memorabilia, plates, cards, X's, or tuna.
Oh, X is inch saucy. it would probably be cards because I used to collect cards. I have a huge collection of cards now. Too many cards. I have too many cards.
Yeah. What do you do with them?
I just have them. I don't know. And someone's like, oh, you should sell them. And I'm like, I don't think I ever want to.
Yeah.
You know, tough so. To
Trying to figure out their value is also really hard.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't know. I just want to hold on to them, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Do you talk to strangers? Sure. Why not? No. If it's a pretty girl or guy, sure. I talk to everyone. Or leave me alone.
Interestingly enough, I'm torn between leave me alone and I talk to everyone. I'm going to say I talk to everyone. I think I talk to everyone more than leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pick a Tom Hanks movie. Catch Me If You Can, The Terminal, Forrest Gump, News of the World, or You've Got Mail.
Forrest Gump.
Okay, you got, no, you wouldn't survive. You're Colin Hanks.
Oh, yay! Oh, that's how I would die?
Yeah, you let finding love cloud your judgment. I thought you were smarter than that.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting point. He did die because he wanted to date.
Yeah, you shouldn't date.
Yeah, dating, if there's a lesson to be learned here, don't ever date.
Yeah, well, we'll take that from Inside the Disney Vault. What is your moral of the story for this movie?
That's it. The moral of the story is don't ever date.
Don't ever date.
One is enough. Don't overdate. What are you doing?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Don't answer the phone.
Also,
ever.
She emailed him. He wrote an email. She emailed him back. Just text each other.
Well, this was 2008, you know. We had the flip phones with the snake on it. You're too busy.
Right.
And the T9 was too hard, you know. So
That's true. An email would have been easier. Yeah.
I don't remember that. Okay. Also for season two, I don't know if you know this, but Colin Hanks has a line of Hankskerchiefs. They're handkerchiefs, but called Hankskerchiefs.
Okay, looking that up right now.
Yeah, and I'm having everyone design a Hankskerchief based on the movie they saw. So you can just like pitch me what color it is, what would you put, like different icons you would put on it, or like designs.
So based on this movie, what I would design?
Yes.
I would design, my handkerchief would be that graphic of horses with the triangle square. See, that was their giveaway. They should have just cut that area and just left the graphic of the girl riding the horse. But because it was like the side-scrolling stuff, there's no triangle, square, circle, or X buttons on a computer.
No. I mean, there's X.
There is X, but
and circle.
That's how they gave it away. That's how you, y'all fucked up.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So I would do that print in a handkerchief.
Okay. So mm-hmm. Horses.
Horses, yeah.
For untraceable.
Horses of courses.
That would be the name of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going. Oh, I never asked. What's your favorite Colin Hanks movie?
Oh, my favorite Colin Hanks movie is, what was the first one? You brought it up and I was like, oh, that's it.
The House Bunny?
The House Bunny. Yes, absolutely. The House Bunny. My goodness. You know, but my mind always wants to say Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't really like the movie, but I liked Colin Hanks in the movie. Is he in that one? I believe so. Oh my God, that would be so embarrassing if.
I know it was King Kong.
It was King Kong. It wasn't Skull Island. It was King Kong.
Yeah, because
Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Yeah, I mean, they do go to Skull Island, but I know there is the King Kong Skull Island movie, which I haven't seen. But yeah,
it's not great.
Wait, you liked King Kong?
I didn't like King Kong.
Okay,
but yeah. I liked that Colin Hanks had work.
Yes, me too. No, me too.
I was like, oh, what a fun surprise to see. You know, it's always a surprise when you see Colin Hanks.
It was a star-studded movie too.
Right.
Jack Black, Naomi Watts.
Yeah.
What's his face from The Pianist? King Kong. it was 3 hours long.
Very long.
Yeah.
And you know, Colin wasn't in it as much, but I think that's just his deal. That's his MO. Is that Colin Hanks is in movies that are great, star-studded. He's a dependable actor. He'll get the job done.
Yeah.
And he's not like a hog. He's not an over actor at all. No. He's like really subtle. He'll do anything you throw at him, he'll do it. As long as it's a variation of the nerd trope.
Yeah.
He's got you. He's loyal, dependable. And then he's gone. He did his job and then he's out of there.
Yeah. He's great. Yeah. Okay.
I would love to have Colin Hanks' career. Are you kidding me? What a fun
I would like career. To have Colin Hanks' dad.
Well, yeah. Oh, just have. Okay, just have him. Okay, I get it. Mm-hmm,
No, I liked my own dad. but you know, it's cool.
But you are Tom Hanks' friend, though.
Yeah.
Say that.
Yeah, we have written a few letters. He hasn't written me back, but that's fine. I have 3 letters from him.
That's so okay. That's, he knows you exist. That's enough. And that's honestly, enough. That's enough.
And that's probably what he said when he got my last. But that was a nice one. It was a happy birthday card. So whatever. He's busy. He's off that's in enough. Greece vacationing. So
yeah.
Okay. Well, let's rate this movie out of 5 Collins. How many Collins do you give Untraceable?
Okay. So the question is, am I rating the movie or am I rating like the Colin Hanks ability of the movie?
You know, everyone always asks that. And I always say, just go with your gut.
Go with your gut. Okay. Because here's the thing. Colin Hanks in this movie, I really enjoyed.
Yes.
I didn't like his character, but because he's so likable, I liked him in that character. You know, yeah. I think that character could have easily been a little seedy, a little like honestly creepier.
Yeah.
But because Colin Hanks was like a nice guy, you know, it like softened the blow a little bit.
Yeah.
So I did like him in the movie. Did I like the movie? No, absolutely not. It's a forgettable piece of psycho schlock. It's sort of, it's like weirdly Blue Lives Matter-y to me sometimes, you know what I mean? Especially when she like puts the badge at the very end.
Oh yeah.
It felt very like, what is happening here? What? I no, this is not what we want.
She's like, it's okay, I'm FBI.
Yeah, I killed him, but it's okay. Look at me, I'm a cop. And it's like, well, you're not above the law. But I think overall, both elements included, I would give this 2.5 Collins.
2.5.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to give it 3 Collins only because I felt like this was a better movie than what I've been seeing recently from Colin.
Oh, right, right.
And I liked Colin's character, even though, yes, he did seem like if it was played by anyone else, it would have been a bad character. And I was also sad when he died.
I know. Yeah. And that was shocking.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was nothing to write home about, but something to do a podcast about.
Who would you recommend this movie to?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I guess if someone was like, oh, I've watched every single horror movie or like scary movie for Halloween. Does anyone have any recommendations? I'd be like, well, you know, Untraceable is on the Stars app if you have Stars. And it's got Colin Hanks in it. That's who I would recommend it to.
I feel like it does fit someone's... I think someone would like it a lot, I think.
Yeah.
It's not a terrible movie. I really was expecting it to be awful, but it wasn't. It was entertaining. I like watched the whole movie, which, you know, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Not to pat myself on the back here, but you know, I watched the whole thing, you know. But I've seen so many of these kinds of movies.
Yeah.
That I was like, you know, I've seen better. I've seen better.
Same. Yeah. But, you know, if people need a Halloween recommendation.
Right. And if they've seen all the Saw movies, this is a nice little alternative, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Oscar, for talking Untraceable and Colin Hanks with me. Where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me at a podcast that I co-host with Rachel Chapman and Claire Logren. And it's called Inside the Disney Vault. And you can follow us at Inside the Disney Vault on Instagram and ITDV Podcast. I'm getting a lot better now, actually.
Yeah, you're great.
On Twitter, because I used to screw it up all the time and say I'm not going to say it because I don't want to confuse listeners. And you can also follow me and my co-host Manuel Gapian on a podcast that I host called Podcast Kill the Video Star, where we're trying to find the top 100 definitive music videos of all time. And you can follow us at Podcast Kill the Video Star on Instagram. And if you just want to follow me and want to know what's up, what's going on in my life, just follow me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah. And are you Ozzymo1 on TikTok?
And I'm Ozzymo1 on TikTok, which I got to dust the cobwebs off of that app because I have not been on that app at all.
Yeah, you got to. I was going to ask, have you guys ever thought about doing the movie from the music video from Dragnet on Podcast Kill the Video Star?
I'm sorry, what?
There was a song for the movie Dragnet with Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd. And they like,
I'm sorry,
like,
that was a movie that existed?
Yeah, in the 80s. And it was, they did a music, they did a song for it. And it was like a music video. And it was like a Beastie Boys type rap song. But Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks. Yeah, you gotta go watch that.
Well, you know, we gotta have you on the podcast. And you could talk about a music video with Tom Hanks in it. Because he's done a couple.
Yeah. Oh, I really, really like you.
Yeah.
I think that's all I can think about right now.
Well, great. I mean, that's one.
There's two. Wow. Well, thanks again, Oscar. And Hanks for listening. Okay, bye.
It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for listening.